It is Friday the 21st of March, and this is episode 201 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome to another episode of Digital Outbox. I am Chris, joined as ever by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Good evening, Chris. I missed the kazoo or the zoo, yeah, zoo, or whatever.
We can't. It's got, if I brought it in every week, it wouldn't be a special occasion. You know, it wouldn't feel so special when it gets brought out.
That's
You've got to experience the lows to know what the highs are.
Well, you bring a cock out every week.
Shh. The listener doesn't need to know that.
I wish I could have said that without laughing. I'm not laughing at it, obviously.
Very impressive. So, we haven't got Henry this week. And that's probably going to be the case for a little while again.
I thought you were going to say
that. We brought him out of hibernation, but I think he's gone back for a snooze again, right?
I was worried you were going to say that, and that's a good thing. Where's that conversation going?
I never said that. That came out of your mouth.
I know.
So you must have been thinking it. Henry, Ian hates you. right, we've actually got some news and some stuff to talk around and discuss. It's all good this week. And we're going to start with wearables, the in thing. Because basically Android have come out and said, we're going to nail this. We're releasing APIs and design for Android in a wearable device. And they've come up with some concepts as well. So we've got concept watches being shown.
Yeah, so this is Android Wear, and the concept watches, so in the video you see these concept watches, and it does look like, you know, video on the actual device itself.
It looks very Apple, yeah, yeah. So not the real thing, just video, yeah.
But then, kind of like a few minutes later, the Moto 360 and the LG G, I'm sure they could have come up with a better name, the LG G.
Lugugga.
Yeah, so those websites popped up, and certainly the Moto 360 is probably... The closest,
is that the round one?
That's the round one, which is still large. I think they're still saying it's like 49 millimeters or something like that. So still quite big, but it's round, and it actually looked closest to something, you know, that a normal would wear.
A normal, yeah. I think that's quite cleverly put. I like that. No, absolutely, and there's still a bit of me which they're selling this as big time, you know, wow, look at this, isn't this amazing? But effectively, you know, you've still got your phone in your pocket. That's what you can do. I mean, effectively, what we're going to have, instead of people walking around just blindly staring at their phones and bumping into things, we're going to have the people blindly staring at their watch bumping into things instead. That's the difference. You're just going down to a smaller screen size, as far as I can tell.
In some ways, see the bit that always get, and I'm not trying to slag it off, because I think Google Now, which is going to power all this, is where Google are winning right now. If you give yourself over to Google with all your information, Google Now is, just blows Siri away. And I think that's where they've got a real advantage. But then every video that shows off Google Now or these watches, how many gate changes and flights have people got? I don't have that many. You know, and it's like, everyone is like, oh, your gate's changed. And it's like, that happens like once a year. I don't need a watch for that.
If it could ever get to platform changes at trains, then maybe they've got something. But yeah, you're right. It's maybe in other countries that is more of an issue. I don't know. Maybe the local flights change gates more often. But yeah, you're right. It's like real not problem for me. But still, there is definitely something there. And as I say, they've opened up this Google Wear. It's an API, effectively. So the idea being that app developers can now hook into that and offer enriched services. So a bit like, you know, Xbox glasses for the Xbox platform. This is the same to an app on your phone. One thing that did strike me was, you know, showing different form factors. So having an oblong watch and then a round watch, I wonder how that is going to actually manifest itself. These are certainly concepts at the moment. How do you cater for a round screen and an oblong screen? You know, it's difficult.
I know, and I actually really liked the round one.
The round one looked. Yeah, it hit home with me as far as that makes it something different and it looks good.
But I still thought the video was very much a concept video layered on top of an actual piece of hardware, because the hand never moved.
No.
That was the most...
No,
I mean, it was locked in.
And it was a bit kind of, you know, that Microsoft tablet that never appeared. It's the same thing. There was swiping going on up and right and up and left or whatever, but there was no indication of what that meant and why. How would you know to swipe up, left, right, bottom? You know, how would you know to do all that?
I was going to say, see the other thing, and it was something I was talking about with Shaq through the week, and he said it as well. I'm not going to have something on the wrist and go, okay, Google.
Talking to it was, you know, I can see exactly why they're doing it.
Yeah.
But you do, I mean, you feel like a twat, basically. you know, it's not, and in a noisy place, how is it going to cope then? And really, are you going to want to, you know, in a quiet train carriage, yeah, you're not going to want to talk to your
and watch. Also, just say, you know, usually like geeks have geek mates and they've all got them. If you say, okay, Google, is everybody's phone?
Yeah, everyone's phone going to kick in. And can you start, you know, abusing, you know, because it reads stuff out. So can you start abusing someone's
smartwatch? Can you imagine how annoying a kid would be on a train if that was happening? Sitting there going, okay, Google.
Yeah, just seeing how many people go, oh, shut up.
Yeah, okay, Google. What you going to do? Okay, Google.
Okay, Google, wipe.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And what do you think? I mean, the thing about battery life, it's kind of, you know, lots of people saying, I'm not going to charge this every, you know, 2-3 days. It can't be like a phone. And I looked at it and thought, is this going to be wireless charging? Because there's no, on the photos, there's no
input.
No holes.
Yeah. And it's a kind of perfect thing for wireless charging. But again, we're not used to charging watches. And that's another thing, you know, it's another device you've got to charge. I like the concept. They've drawn me in a little bit. I've been surprised before by how much, you know, people do use their iPads to go and take photos, for example. And that's something we said they would never, ever do. So, you know, I'm surprised by what people do and don't do with technology. So I think there's a hook here.
No, definitely. And the fact that they've got the APIs out already, I mean, obviously, exactly, you're going to get there's a massive market going to be there compared to, I think Apple will come out with something. And I don't actually think Apple, I'm still not convinced Apple are going to do a watch. I'm not convinced about that whole watch idea.
No.
There's going to be something around a wearable. And I still be touched on it last week and saying, like, you know, the Fitbit we've got are almost like the dumb predecessors of what are these going to be smart devices. And there was this leak of Healthbook earlier this week, which was the kind of the alleged screenshots of what Healthbook's going to look like in iOS 8. And the amount of things it tracked was scary. You know, like oxygen flow and all lots of other nonsense. And a part of me
stuff
was like,
you never knew you needed to know.
Yeah, but then if they can start to pull out a, you know, you're ill, you should go and
trends, yeah, yeah.
You know, you should go and see somebody, or and that's the, as I said to you before, see for the migraine side of things, see if it can pull out something like, you know, you're not drinking enough and it actually is telling you need to
some unconscious trigger or whatever, yeah.
You need to go and do something, then all the better.
Yeah. Where's that information being stored is what I'd question on that, and who's got access to it. Google Chromecast has gone on sale. So this is the little like USB-like stick, which actually goes into your HDMI port on your TV, and it will take control from, I don't know, an iPad or a laptop or a mobile device, and effectively turns your TV into a smart TV. And now it is on sale in the UK, £30. It's yours from Amazon Currys or from Google Play Store.
Yep.
I bought one. I haven't got it yet.
I'm going to try and get one tomorrow.
Yeah, so that should be with me tomorrow. And I'm quite excited by it. That shows how much interest I've got in it, really. It's just, you know, as soon as it came available, I went and got it.
And I've got an Apple TV sitting there. So it's not, it's more just the, it's another one
it's
of these
30 quid.
Things. Yeah, I want to play with it. And
No, exactly. I want to find out exactly what it's like to use.
And especially, you know, it's got a Plex support on it. It supports iPlayer. And even just the fact, you know, if you've got Chrome installed, you can now just, you know, from your laptop, you can actually
just say fling a video to your TV.
But not even a video. They've got in like beta support for full screen, you know, so for like, you know, presentation. And I'm into work mode, you know. You just imagine all your TVs sitting around, you just plug these little things in and just
and
go.
And the fact you can just plug it in, yeah, absolutely. It's taken a while for these smart TVs to take traction, and I think this is one way that actually it becomes really useful. You can take this with you. It's pocketable. Or you know, can put it in your laptop bag or whatever. You can take it to people's houses and you can actually stream your videos, whatever you want. You can turn their TV into a smart TV. So, yeah, I think they've got it right. And, like, the price point is a no-brainer almost.
Absolutely.
So I'm sure we'll report back next week then.
Hopefully.
I pick it as a pick.
Damn you.
Apple has been releasing new old products. Basically, they've released an 8 gig version of the iPhone 5C.
Too small.
So, yeah. So that's dropped the kind of base price point of their latest phone. Eight gig is relatively restrictive, even for someone like me who doesn't really have a big music collection or a big app collection. That's quite tight. You'd have to constantly move things around, I think. So that's going to be £429. Am I right? Is that right?
Yeah, and I don't know. It just seems to. So the 5C hasn't been a big seller, and I don't think Apple maybe ever intended it to be a massive seller. I think they just felt they had to have something at these kind of mid
relative terms. Big seller.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it did sell shitloads.
Yeah, I know. But I just find this a strange one.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost, it feels like they're doing this because they're filling a stopgap because they know they haven't got something yet to show us. I think that's probably what it feels like to me. Because it's kind of in, we're in the region now where we're expecting the next things to start leaking around.
Yeah, and I think the good thing that they did ditch was that iPad 2, which was a...
Hey, nothing wrong with the iPad 2.
Come on.
It's kept me going all this time.
No, but you know what I mean.
As in, it's sat there. For me, it means, bum, they're going to stop supporting it now. Damn, I'm going to have to upgrade some point. But yeah, they've now brought back the fourth gen iPad. Like you say, decommissioned the iPad 2. And that is you can get the base model for $329.
Yeah.
That's a great price.
Yeah. And the iPad, that fourth gen one was the second Retina. So this is the one that had the updated CPU in it. So it was it actually all worked. Whereas the first Retina was a bit stuttery. And that was the one I had. Yeah. So that's a really good price. You know, and I think that is a good...
As a bit of hardware, that I think, you know, no other tablets got close. I mean, even the really, you know, they've gone the cheap route and it's not worked. And I think they proved Apple that they could release an incredibly well-priced product for that. No one can match it.
No. Because even the Nexus, I picked up the Nexus today and I was installing a couple of bits of software. Mm-hmm. And it's still...
Not there. Yeah. It's not.
It's only 15 months, 16 months. Mm-hmm. And it's just so laggy when you move around screens. And it's like, that's... It does show its age, you know, it feels really old, whereas my iPads that were 2-year-old never felt that bad.
No, I would say my iPad 2, you know, it's still going along remarkably well if you think how old that bit, in tech terms, how old it is. It's not obviously old, but yeah, it's still doing a good job. So, I think by now this decommissioning, I think that's going to be it. I think I will have to bite the bullet at some point, although I've got no money to bite the bullet with. Did you hear that boo-hoo sob?
I heard nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Smartphone chargers. We're going universal.
This is like every 2 years, I think this story pops up. Yeah. But the politicians have actually voted for it overwhelmingly. And so we're now going to see a common charger in 2017, which is just like, we've been talking about this for like 2 or 3 years.
Who knew it was such a pressing issue, though?
And who knew
sanctions on Russia and phone charger sockets?
Yeah. And of course, the big debate is like, what will Apple do? And it's like, well, they're throwing a little dongle.
I was going to say that's all that will happen. Yeah, because they'll comply with it somehow.
Yeah, because lightning's lightning. You know, they're not going to go away from their lightning solution because it's everywhere.
Well, and I think they'd rather have two holes. So this is, basically the micro USB seems to have won out basically. So, and you know, it is a sensible move. Why do we need a new charger and plug and all the paraphernalia that goes along with that every single time we get a new device when this one thing will work for what we need it to?
So, absolutely. Yep,
I agree with the move. I find it unusual that we have to have so many people spending so long trying to decide that we need it.
And the best bit is that the European kind of, you know, MEPs have voted for this, but now the member states have until 2016 to translate this into law, and then there's 12 months. It's like, this is, oh.
I mean, anyone who says that, you know, our law statutes are bloated, this is a prime example, the fact that we have to legislate for a single phone charger.
You know, UKIP might have something.
Take that back. Theresa May has warned Yahoo that moving to Dublin is a security worry. So this is Yahoo have come along to the government and said, right, you've snooped on us, all our customers. You've taken indecent images without consent. You've used our webcams here, there and everywhere. You've plugged into all our back-end systems and taken data that wasn't yours to take. We're going now because we're going to go to Dublin where you can no longer do that. And the government have gone, oh, crikey, we're not going to be able to look at that information anymore. Don't do that.
Pretty much.
In summary. And basically, Yahoo have been summoned to a meeting to explain to them why it's a bad idea that they go to Dublin.
Yeah, and there was a... I don't know about this. Part of me, I mean, I read it, I was like, really? You know, is that because there is so many mail providers that aren't either UK or European or US, you know, based. And maybe this just shows how much they have been snooping. I know we've had all these leaks and all mm-hmm. the kind of bits and pieces, but I wouldn't have
thought... You can be sure that it's not just that they snooped. It's, you know, it's just probably the way they feel they've been treated.
No. And also there was that Microsoft story this week about how that somebody had leaked Windows 8. And to find out who they'd leaked, they went and searched through his email to find, and it wasn't his email. They searched through the kind of public Hotmail account, so it wasn't his own internal Microsoft account. And what's basically come out is that Apple, Google, and Yahoo have do all the same things as well. They are legally allowed to go and scan emails and go and find out that information. It's almost like a dirty hidden secret. But anyway, I don't think this is going to stop any moves. To be honest, because I'm sure from a tax point of view, it's quite healthy to move to Dublin as well.
I think Ireland are wanting people to help support their economy, which is still struggling. So,
yep.
Okay, and then, well, yeah. So I'm not surprised. And to be honest, you reap what you sow, right?
I think so. And I mean, it's certainly. I think Yahoo were one of the ones. I mean, Google were outraged, and Apple were outraged, and Facebook were outraged, but Yahoo were. Probably one of the most outspoken ones about this. I think they really felt that this was out of order. And also there was a whole, remember all the Yahoo webcams and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, exactly. They did properly abuse their users.
Well, they abused their users, but also I think partly it was Yahoo weren't maybe as secure as some of the other ones. So, right.
Well, you can't tell. I mean, they could have just been an insider that, you know, leaked out, whatever. Anyway, beyond what we know, and unfortunately, it takes a lot to make a company want to move. So,
there you go. Thanks.
Yeah, and tax. Money normally is what it takes. The US have come out and said that they are going to relinquish control of ICANN. This is the central authority for all the domain names, the sort of main source of all these domain names. And it's been in US control forever almost. And they said that they were never going to let go. But I think... again, because of the snooping and stuff, that they come under international pressure, and they said, right, okay, let's go and give this over to a central global authority rather than US controlled.
Yes, and this is one of the things that they said they would never give up on.
Yep, they were
adamant, and it wasn't adamant during, you know, Republicans being in charge, but adamant during the Obama administration as well that they would not give up on this.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think this is, you know, partly down to, you know, the leaks that Snowden has done, you know, and just the kind of worldwide outrage at the information that they've been snooping on. And it's another bit that's interesting.
You can be sure that, you know, Angela Merkel didn't just sit down and say, I'm outraged that you've snooped on my phone. She would have said that's her public statement. But the amount of stir that would have generated behind the scenes diplomatically, it would have been massive.
Did you see the picture of her and Putin?
No.
So seemingly she's scared of dogs. And what does Putin do? He brings in a big dog to sit you know, when they're doing their official meeting. You know, he brings in this big dog.
He's a twat, isn't he?
He's a cock, so he is.
Yeah.
He just want, I don't know, you want a thousand gays to go up and kind of smother him.
Just give him a cuddle.
Yeah. But so the Republicans are outraged at this. This is a threat to national security because obviously they feel they have to control these things. And Americans have said, you know, but no dark nations can get this. So China won't be allowed, and Russia won't be allowed, and Iran won't be allowed. And there's all these this list of nations that aren't allowed, including bizarrely the United Nations, I don't get that.
It's a big move. And obviously the Republicans are absolutely outraged that the fact that America are no longer going to have the keys to this, when really they had no right to them in the first place. It was just...
Exactly.
they kind of stole them and kept hold of them, is what really happened.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think this is the right move. So however it's come about, whyever it's come about, it's been talked about a long time outside of the US, the fact that, you know, fingers crossed they get it done quick so the Republicans don't get a chance to have it back.
Who would you like to see take over?
Me. No, actually, I don't want that job. I don't know, but this is where our kind of weird notion of having nations and national boundaries doesn't work anymore. So maybe, you know, maybe it has to be the United Nations or something along those lines. There's you know, who else? It's got to be an international organization.
Nah, give it to Sweden.
Okay. someone central. Ongoing saga of Mt. Gox and its Bitcoin exchange.
They are dirty thieves. There's just no getting away from this.
They have found, in inverted commas, 200,000 Bitcoins in old digital wallets which they thought were empty.
Really?
So they had a look down the back of the sofa and they found $118 million worth of Bitcoins. And because of the way the exchange works, if you had an account with them, you weren't actually a creditor, so actually you because they're bankrupt now, you don't stand to gain any money.
But hold on, so the way this text says it, you know, and it's like, so, you know, it was discovered in one of the old format wallets that Mt. Gox had used in the past and assumed no longer held any Bitcoins.
Yeah, I think when someone said that these guys were a bit dodgy, I think they were right.
Yeah. And anyway, the best bit, see if you've lost money. Unless you actually take legal action, you're not going to get anything.
No, that's it. You're not a creditor, so you're not entitled to that money. So, and the fact that there's so many people affected by this, that, you know, it's you're not going to get any money, and even if you do take legal action. So, there we go. Don't go to Mt. Gox for your Bitcoin requirements. Have a local one. Microsoft has made the move to make OneNote free. So it's made an application for Mac. It's made it's a freemium product on Windows now. And there's basically APIs available for other services to hook into it as well. Basically, Microsoft wanted to turn OneNote into Evernote, with the only problem being Evernote's already done that.
But this is, I'm amazed. Again, maybe this is just sluggish, big, massive Microsoft, you know, taking ages to get their act together. Because OneNote has been around for years, and it's actually been one of the better parts of that Office suite.
Used it. It was always one of those applications that, I mean, for some people, it was like, you know,
Before I switched to Evernote, I was kind of jealously looking at it and was using it a bit here and there, using it a bit at work as well. And it was good. You know, it was just, it was one of their kind of hidden gems that almost felt like the kind of, you know, it almost felt like there was like, you know, a team of five or six had put a lot of effort into it and they'd come up with a really, you know, niche, small, but worked really well product.
I think it did. And I think that, like I say, it's got that following. As with every things with Microsoft, they tend to get there quite early in, you know, they're quite, you know, they're pathfinders in that respect. They do tend to come out with things early. They just never realize things as well as other people.
Well, touch PC. You know, Bill Gates can hold up his touch PC and say we had the tablet, you know, 13 years ago, but you did hee-haw with it. You know, it just went nowhere.
Because they were ahead of the technology then. And OneNote was ahead of the internet. As in, it had internet, but not like we do now. So it just never was able to work the way that, you know, that vision was just ahead of its time, really. So that's now there. They've already released sort of apps or APIs and apps that are integrating into that. So it sounds like, you know, if you want to go down that route, then fine, do it.
And the impressive thing was on the Apple App Store, it was number one for a number of days. I know it's a free app, but I mean, just to show you how, and you know it anyway, but if you look on the free apps, the top free apps, Mavericks, you know, so it's dislodged quite a, you know, so it's Mavericks, iMovie, iPhoto, Keynote, Numbers, Pages, because all the Apple apps are now free.
Yeah.
So it was actually, and their API is seemingly very impressive, because Evernote Evernote's connected in lots of places, but it's still a bit proprietary when it comes to getting information out. But the,
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But it's a bit like Dropbox, you know. It's kind of just because it's been around long enough, it's kind of fought off everybody else, and it's almost the kind of the standard. I know some people don't like the way it works, but it's like Dropbox; it's everywhere.
It's often not the best technology that wins out. You know,
yeah,
it's the one that happens to just hit a spot at the right time.
But I think this is definitely a good move for Microsoft.
Yeah, good move. And maybe it will show them the model whereby, you know, free and generating users is better than paid for and not having the, and, you know, leaking users basically. So yeah, it might show a new direction that they're going in. Sony have been out pimping Project Morpheus, basically VR headset for the home environment. And we've been seeing these things forever. I mean, Tomorrow's World, you know, we're talking about that's really harking back. They were talking about VR in the home. But this is now looks like we're really getting close to having something that's sensible and practical that you could actually use in the house. Looked quite smart.
It looked very smart. And I get the only health warning is it's still a prototype. And it's not this year that it's going to be released. It was demoable, so there had lots there, and people were playing it and reporting back that it actually was, you know, really, really good. And the demos that were there were good, and there was kind of six areas they were talking about, because they're talking about having the kind of sound sort
3D sound, yeah,
yeah, and all that kind of good stuff
to really put you in there. So I don't think I've ever worn a proper VR headset, and it surprises me that it's going to be, you know, you've got your screens about, what, 3 inches away from your eyes. It doesn't feel like that's a sensible distance to be focusing on. But I don't know what the health... I mean, sure, we'll hear the Daily Mail saying that you get cancer from it or something. But but it seems like, you know, having screens that close doesn't seem a sensible idea.
And I guess we've been I'm not giving away any secrets. We've been trialing some VR headsets at work. Mm-hmm. So we've been doing some big scale visualization projects recently, yeah. But also with a kind of almost like an Oculus, but maybe, you know, a generation or two ago. So mm-hmm. maybe about sort of 4 or 5 year old technology. And again, very similar screens about that distance away, big headset on, clamped on your head. And you do lose yourself. You know, you are in that world, and you know, you have your avatar and you're walking around, and it is, I'm sitting here grinning. I can't wait.
So this
to
has
use
got potential
like
in your eyes then to be really quite exciting.
Yeah, I just think I'm
not surprising they've called it Morpheus. It's properly, you know, this is nations of people just sat there in their living rooms escaping.
Absolutely. And the thing is, it ties up with the PS4 had that bright light on the controller, so seemingly mm-hmm. using that as a bit of a sensor.
Yeah.
It uses the camera, which you don't get with the PS4. So you do need, you know, if you're going to get the headset, you're going to need a camera. And it also uses Move controllers as well. So you can have a proper, you know, headset in this world and using these controllers to, you know, sword and shield and bows and arrows.
You know, if gamers didn't have friends already, it would be quite embarrassing.
I think it's just the whole, I don't know, there's just something about it. If it's for certain games, I just think, ooh, I can't wait.
Like
I
say, we've seen this so many times, and most CESs and things, shows like that, there's always a company touting the next VR thing. And up till now, they have been these massive headsets. I remember even, what was the kids' TV show that had it? Was it
Nightmare?
Night Lore or something?
Nightmare,
there we go. And so that was a good, 10 years, 15 years ago, maybe even longer than that. In fact,
I was going to say
more than like 20 years ago.
Well, it must have been more because I remember.
Yeah,
because
it was. Yeah, exactly. So, shit, it could have been. Sorry, it could have been. About 25 years ago. That actually. Well, you have a search around.
Prepared to be scared. 1987.
Oh wow. Yeah, that's a little way away. So Nelson Piquet won the Formula One World Championship in 1987. We didn't just have one headset released this week, though, because Oculus came out and said, oh, actually, okay, someone else is trying to steal our thunder. We've got a product as well. Here it is. We showed you this before. You were excited about that before Sony said that they're going to release one. So we're still here. Hello. And it's going to cost you about $350, which is an interesting price point. I thought it's quite a...
Yep.
It's lower than I thought, actually.
So this is DevKit 2. So DevKit 1 was last year, and actually they had to pull it. about a month ago because the components that were within it were no longer available. Right. You know, they just couldn't make any more. But I think they've made, was it about 20,000? You know, a dev kit, it's actually been really popular. So this is dev kit 2. They've really improved the screens inside, so now OLED screens. Mm-hmm. And it now comes with a camera, so it's tracking position via the camera. And again, I just want to buy one.
You know their hand's been forced though, right? I mean, that's why we've seen this announcement, because of the Sony announcement. So
I
wonder whether we're going to have that kind of Microsoft thing where they're going to try and rush something now.
In some ways, their hand's been forced. They've always been clear that they want to release a product this year. So
they will get to market first.
Yeah, I mean, the development kit too was always going to happen. They showed, and is it Crystal Cove, I think they called it, or Crystal Cave? So that was a kind of, at CES, they kind of showed the kind of updated prototype. So they knew there was a development kit too coming, and they reckon there's one or two more additions they want to make to the hardware, and E3 looks likely to be the one where they'll actually show a finished product. But they're saying for game developers right now, that's as close as you need to actually go in.
Like you have the old Xbox sat in its tower instead of inside its final casing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. There'll be one or two tweaks, but it's not going to really affect, you know.
Yeah. Okay, well, exciting times then, especially if you do get excited by that kind of that idea. And I think everyone has their little,
I think it's just
it's going to hit a note. If they can get the price point that low, then it'll hit a note.
Yeah, and I think for me as well, and it'll be the same for Sony, if they can bring it out, £300? So it is something that is, it's not throwaway, but it's
console region, isn't it, basically?
It's
expensive bit of home hardware, but it's still within that reach, basically, for Christmas time, especially.
And let's not forget Microsoft, because they kind of tweeted or kind of leaked out last year that we've got one too.
And they've already got Kinect, and they could nail it.
Exactly. And they did say it was based on Kinect, and don't rule us out.
They could probably do it in a much actually more simple and straightforward way, using the Kinect sensor. So actually, they've got all that sensor data already, and they don't have to work. Their gyroscopes and stuff don't have to work as hard, basically. So
And just while we're mentioning that, I'd actually meant to throw it in. So we've had a few games of Titanfall, for all our slagging off of the Xbox One, actually it's holding their attention. It's actually quite an enjoyable game.
I actually had a bit of fun playing a game.
Yeah.
And I even went and played it all on my own. That's how much fun I had. Well, mind you, I haven't had a chance this week really to play it, but maybe later tonight I'll give it another blast out. Yes, it is a clever game, and I think they will have to work hard about game modes to keep things going fairly long term, but it's robust enough, it's got enough tactical stuff in there, you learn stuff each time you play it, I'm actually pretty impressed with it.
And the bit that impresses me is that there's some definite performance issues in it, so there's I noticed quite a lot of tearing. I call it tearing, and I never know if that's
it tearing,
I noticed quite a lot of tearing, especially when you get a lot of titans on the screen. The refresh does tend to drop
a
bit. It
can really struggle at times,
especially if you pick a sniper. I cannot believe how
I've not tried a sniper yet.
Oh, so
you dirty player,
go and just pick a sniper, and you zoom in on people and they start to single frame. It feels like it is awful. But despite those things, it's actually a great game. So
yeah, I was going to say, I think it's another indication that people are going to have to really start optimizing for the Xbox One, because it's not up to just. I think that was what it won out last generation, because you had to, PS3 you had to optimize for. This year, I think it's going to, well, this time around, I think it's going to have to be the Xbox One. People are going to have to pay attention to it, because even a dedicated program like this for that hardware is not capable of maintaining that solid frame rate. I mean, in fact, in some ways, the grimy nature of the game, or that kind of environment, because of explosions happening all the time, it's almost like a visual effect not having a proper frame rate. That's what it feels like. But I think it does jar. It draws you out of the environment.
No, definitely, because the first person shooter, there's a smoothness that has to lock in. And for me, it's the same with racing games. When you noticed it, if there was a racing game started dropping frames, you'd be like, oh.
Yep, straight away it affects the game. Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, but it is certainly a worthwhile game. And now that they've got the Xbox you know, with that included for, I think I've seen on Amazon sort of 379, something like that. We're starting to get into the region of, you know, it's in the right area. So they'll be getting there. They just need to still a few more system updates, and then maybe it'd be something to recommend.
Oh, there you go. So the Xbox One console on its own is now 379, and the Titanfall bundle is 389.
There you go. So that it's getting there. I mean, yeah, it's like I say, a few more system updates and maybe a couple more £10 off that, I think would be almost recommendable.
Ah, absolutely. April's is going to bring things like friend notifications, yeah, which is, again, still feels essential that people can come online, and unless you pay attention, you get no chance of seeing them.
I've said it all along. Why are all those friends things separate apps? They should be overlays and integrated and built in. You shouldn't have to go to a separate app to go.
That's what I said about even the Blu-ray stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
why do you go to a separate app?
Blu-ray is a bit of hardware. I don't need to download a Blu-ray app. You know what I mean? It just seemed bizarre. But anyway.
They thought apps was it, and that's why they went down that route. And unfortunately, they didn't compromise on it, and they should have done. They should have said, like the old system, know where an app is and where it's not. Yeah, anyway, blah, blah. We said it plenty of times before. Yes, Twitter is turning 8 years old. And if you so wish, you can go and find out what your very first tweet was at discover.twitter.com/first-tweet.
And I think even if you go to firsttweet.com, it just redirects you to this site. Fine. Yeah.
There you go. That was easy.
So mine's...
You let me read that all out.
Sorry. So if I go there just now, my first... And it's not actually my first tweet, because I actually joined and then left because I just wasn't getting anything out of it. So this was from the 20th October 2007. Back on Twitter, the things you do when you have a torn calf, because I tore my calf at badminton, and I was getting scunnered at not being able to do anything, walk anywhere. I was hobbling around like a fool. And so I jumped back on Twitter.
There you go. And so did you say that was the 20th of October, 2007?
Yeah, because most folks' first tweets are from like a year before. So I'd joined a year before, and I tweeted a little bit, and then I think I had a kind of privacy, security. I need to remove myself from the world, because I think I left Facebook as well.
Yeah.
And I lasted about 2 months, and then I was like, no, I'll get back in there.
mine is 17th of September, 2008. Well late to that party. And my first tweet was, I'm trying to work out why I would open up this Twitter page. I can't believe I'll actually keep it up to date, but you never know. It was my first ever tweet.
Wow.
And I was about right. For my one tweet a year since. There you go. Yep, so you go there and find out what your first tweet was. Perfect. And that is the end of the podcast, unless you've got a pick for us.
I was just looking at the chat to see what his is.
Oh, right.
It's trying to finish reading that damn Adobe Photoshop Lightroom book.
There you go. Actually a proper tweet.
Yeah.
I haven't got a pick. Have you got a pick?
No. Henry's on hold with Vodafone again. The only way to spend Saturday afternoon, not.
There you go. Another fine use of Twitter. Okay, if you want to find out more about us, what we're tweeting about currently, you can do digitaloutbox.com. If you want to talk to us, email info@digitaloutbox.com, and we're on Twitter and Skype as digitaloutbox. I am on Twitter, and you can find my first Twitter if you want to go and find it cheesy UK.
Ian.net is a blog, and Twitter is Sweeper.
Whoop whoop whoop. End of the podcast. Thanks for listening, and we will be here again next week. So talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
I go to bed now.
Where's my headset? Maybe we could have like headsets during the podcast, so that we could be in the same room.
Actually, you would be in the room.
Yeah.
Across the desk, a virtual desk.
Yeah.
Oh, now we're talking.
Yeah.
Imagine what my knob would look like then.